particularly to hear your word and sing your praises, and we ask that you would change us. We ask that you would open our minds to learn more of you and how we're meant to operate, and that what we do would honour you. And do that work in us now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. For some people, when they become Christians, when they begin to follow Jesus Christ, they get really passionate about Jesus and they think something along these lines. What is the point of my day-to-day job or school now that I know about heaven and eternity to come? Should I just spend all my time talking to other people about Jesus? Now, many years ago, I remember hearing a preacher share something along these lines, that when he was at university, he put little to no effort into his degree, which then he subsequently dropped out of, because he was so devoted to Jesus and so devoted to the Christian group and his Christian work. But when people talk about ministry in that way, what often happens is, you know, this person over here, they've got such a passion for Jesus and such a passion for ministry, and they say, well, I dropped everything. I kind of wonder, well, was that immaturity for him in his university degree? Or is that what we should all be like? And then other people think that talking about things in such a way feel like their regular work and the things that they do in life is denigrated. So then people will respond like this. Well, without farmers, you wouldn't eat. Without teachers, you couldn't read that Bible. Without mothers, you wouldn't even be born. And then there are people who, trying to work this out, get really frustrated with the church itself. They try and get involved in ministry, or they see what's happening at the church that they're a part of, and they see that the church so often is a slow-moving, messy, frustrating organisation to be a part of. And they think, look, that the church, the local church, is not really having an impact on the world. So maybe they think, I'll shift what I want to do. Maybe I want to do some work and I'll get involved in a parachurch ministry, a kind of ministry that's not a local church, but it's like alongside it, because often it can be more exciting to work with churches from a distance than actually to be inside a church and work in one. Or maybe they'll get into social work and food banks or justice issues. Some people will then go into non-government organisations and charities, you know, domestic ones or international ones. And then as all this is happening, to go back around to the start, this can cause pastors and church ministers to kind of just double down on talking about Jesus and don't worry about anything else. I don't know if you've ever seen that kind of dynamic go on in churches and Christians or felt it yourself. Well, we're just spending 3 weeks thinking about work. There's plenty of other things that we could be thinking about when it comes to work, but we're just doing kind of 3 weeks, a short little series, and today we're going to be thinking about these things, our general work in life, but then also the particular work of proclaiming Jesus and how they may relate together. And the first thing I want to say, our first point, is that all work is valuable. Now, you should have picked this up already from what we've said in the last couple of weeks. But in this point, I just want to put a big idea in your mind, and it is this. Jesus, in his teaching, doesn't pit or make fight or, you know, push together and say you've got to choose one or the other. He doesn't pit the great commandments against the Great Commission, and we shouldn't do the same either. We are not told, now that you're a follower of Jesus, don't worry about loving God with all your heart and mind and soul and spirit, and don't worry about loving your neighbour and as yourself and kind of working to express that, and instead just go and make disciples of all nations, or the other way around. Of course, we're told to do all of those things. Now, I just want to put it out there, because sometimes we seem to lose this in our thinking about work and gospel work. From the last two Sundays, what we need to recognise, and today, is that all of our work, all the things that we do, whether paid or unpaid, is an outworking of that task, that commandment to love God and love our neighbor. That is what our work is expressing. If you're doing it in a Christ-like, you know, if you're doing it for the Lord, that is what's going on there. And the work that we do in that spirit of working for Christ and loving others is an act that pleases Jesus. And it is an act of love towards those other people as well. Now, last week I gave the example of the man cleaning out the septic tank and how he was doing it for the Lord, and so he was doing it quite cheerfully. He was saying, this is the work that the Lord has given me to do today. But also, it was a work which showed love towards others at that campsite. You know, better a working septic tank for everyone who's there than not. That is love. He's showing love through what he does. And the day-to-day routine matters and the work that we might get paid for as well, the things that we do, you know, just every day, we've just got to feed people. We've got to clean things. We've got to make stuff. We've got to fix things. These are works which are a loving service towards others. Not everything needs to have an eternal kind of presence or an eternal continuity to be worthwhile. I'm trying to think of different ways to think about this. One that I thought was, well, God has made both the flowers that come and go with the seasons, or, you know, even short, maybe just a few weeks for some flowers. He's made them, and he's made them beautiful kind of in their time. But the Lord God has also made the mountains, which stand for an age. God himself isn't just doing a work of redemption in the world. He continues to sustain and care for it. And it's the same with us. Our work, the things that we do, involve both. So the Christian parent teaches their child about how God created the world, how he continues to sustain it, but also how he plans to redeem it. And he is doing that through Jesus Christ. The child needs to know about the world and how to live in it, as well as reconciliation and salvation to God through Christ. Now, it's a mistake when we think, well, if I do something and it's just kind of temporary, it's of no value. We need food. You know, we need our daily bread to survive, yet it doesn't last. In fact, you know, often the food that does last is of far less nutritional value than the food that kind of goes off in a couple of days. it's a mistake just to make that kind of valuation, but sometimes we do that. Many things that we do for others, that is an act of love towards others, need to be repeated day after day, or more frequently. Now, the mother changing the baby's nappy, that needs to be repeated multiple times a day, maybe multiple times within a few minutes. But it is valuable. Just because something doesn't, you do it and then it lasts, doesn't mean that it's not valuable. And so the Bible is, of course, not just instructions about God's salvation for his people, but principles on how we are to live in love towards him and to other people. Last week we did think and we noted how when we do the good works that God has got for us to do, and that'll include our paid work or our unpaid work or whatever it is, we have good work practices. This is Titus chapter 2, verse 10. That can actually be a platform. It can lead to giving a good case for making Jesus attractive to people. But the good work that we do isn't just a platform to share the good news. It's good in itself. So it's not a either-or situation. It's a both-and situation. Faithful disciples of Jesus in all the world, but also disciple makers. So at this point, I don't want to just flatten out all work with gospel work, because I also want to say that there's something special. Something special that all of us have been called to do, to restore people back to God through Jesus Christ. And so this is our second, leading to our second point, that gospel work is timely. So while all work is good and valuable, and we're going to continue portions of it into the age to come, there still is something unique about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, and that is because of the time that we live in. Gospel work is important because the time in which we do it will come to an end. You know, there's going to be an end to some of the opportunities that we have now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is teaching about marriage and singleness in that chapter, and he gives a principle that fits into what we're thinking here about gospel work. And that is about living for the Lord and holding to things in this age lightly. So he says this about marriage. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29 and following. He says, "What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn, as if they did not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use things of the world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away." So he actually takes that kind of example of marriage and he begins to widen it and says, there are all these different things that we do in life, but he says, they're not forever. So use them, do them, but don't be engrossed by them. And when it comes to the good works that we can do, there are lots of good and loving things that we can do in the world. Yet we shouldn't fail to recognize that the time is short. The world in its present form is passing away. So use, but don't be engrossed by things of this world. Once this life is over, people, everyone, lose their opportunity to be reconciled to God. And then it will be too late. Now is the time for people to start following Jesus. Compared to eternity to come, this life is a very compact time period. And so then if we're going to come back to work, yes, we want to say all work is valuable. The things that we do to serve others and help and contribute and all this kind of stuff, feed people, that is valuable. And we're going to do many of these good things in the age to come. But there's a special work we can do of evangelism and discipling people in Jesus Christ, and it has an urgency because of the short window of time. And so when it comes to our jobs or any work that we do, yes, do them well. Do them as to the Lord, as we were thinking about last week. But perhaps we also, well, not perhaps, but at the same time, we should also not be engrossed in them. And what might that look like? Not throwing ourselves completely into our work, such that people may idolize their job or their career or even raising a family. These tasks will come to an end. These relationships, these businesses, these careers are not yours forever, and they shouldn't be your everything. And sometimes that's what people say about in a marriage. And you might think it or even say it in other aspects of life, but Paul is saying it's going to come to an end. Do it, use it, but realize it, it's not going to be forever. Don't be engrossed by it. So work in this life is good, and we should work hard, but we also need to see its limits. So for example, if we think about our homes, heaven is not created in our homes when we slave away so much that they are always spotlessly clean and always on trend in like the colour or the decor or the fit out. That's not the right word for your house, that's a shop. But like, you know what I mean? You know, we're not going to create heaven in our home. We shouldn't think that we're going to create heaven in our home. Yes, work hard, clean it. It's good to have a safe, tidy, clean house you're not going to get sick from or trip over and hurt yourself or whatever. But the deep longings that we have for comfort and satisfaction and bliss are not going to be found there. They come about through Jesus, who brings us into eternal dwellings. Other work, yes, we can and should work for an organised, you know, orderly society as best we can in this age. We should have good governments. We should have good businesses, good services. But isn't it always the case in history that when people strive for utopia in a society and they push it so hard that we're going to get heaven here in our country, you know, what happens? It ends up in bloodshed. Like, there's limits. Who is going to bring about heaven on earth? God will. And we pray, your kingdom come on earth as in heaven. So there are limits to the work we should do. But there's something special that we can contribute as Christians in the world. So if you think of all the different kinds of work we could do to bless other people, you don't have to be a Christian to do pretty much all of them, really. But there is something special that Christians can contribute to the world. In that second reading that we had from, in the first reading we had from 1 Peter, it talks about a special work that all Christians can do and should do. And it is the special work of declaring the mercy that God has shown to them in Christ to the world. So this was read from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It's talking about all Christians. Peter writes to us, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." So did you see the task? Did you see the work, the special work that Christians should do in the world? It is a declaration. It's a speaking work to the world about what Jesus has done for us, what God has done for us. We are called by God to declare his praises to the world for his salvation and mercy. So if you're a Christian here today, you have a wonderful story to talk about the effect of Jesus' love and death and resurrection upon your life. You're going to use some very similar words about who Christ is and what he's done, but there might be a personal way that you talk about the impact for you. There might be some certain special things that it's meant in the story of your life with the things that are common to all of us for what Christ has done. You have a wonderful story to tell. You have praises that you can declare to the world. And we also need to be ready to share it when the opportunity comes. As Peter goes on to say, this was the other part of 1 Peter that we read. This is chapter 3, verse 15. "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." So the hope that we have is meant to be on our hearts and minds, and then we're meant to be ready to say, yeah, this is why I'm a Christian, and this is why it's good. This is why I'm committed to going to church. This is why I'm committed to loving people in my work or trying to do a good job or loving, you know, whatever it might be. This is why I'm revering Christ as Lord. And it's close to my mind and my heart, and then it's close to my lips as well. And so sharing the gospel is a special work for Christians. It's a special work we can do. And it's in which, you know, our speech, the things that we say, give an opportunity then, as we say some of these things, our work in that gives an opportunity for other people to do a special work as well. The opportunity for them, their special work, is that they may respond to believing Christ. We can do the special work of speaking and declaring God's praises, that they might do a special work of trusting in Jesus. In John's Gospel, in John chapter 6, it's recorded that after Jesus fed the 5,000 men, and I'm sure he fed some of the women and children as well, so like plenty of people, he told them to do a special work. He told the crowd. So he'd fed all these people, you know, maybe 10,000, who knows how many people were there, stacks. He fed them with physical food. It was a miracle. Physical food fills their tummies. He then crosses over the lake, and people set off in boats after Jesus. They're like searching. They're trying to track him down. They want to get more. And when they got there, they found him. Jesus tells them, "You came looking for some more bread." And he kind of, this is what I'm imagining he's saying, "You did the work to get there to get some more to eat from him that you might be sustained." But then he goes on to talk about work. He says, "But I, Jesus, offer something more special, something better than just the regular bread." And here I'm going to read John chapter 6, verse 27. Jesus tells the crowd, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you." And the crowd think, "Okay, well, let us have it, Jesus. This sounds pretty good." The next verse, verse 28, then they ask him, what must we do to do the works that God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So we all need our daily bread. We need food in our tummies, food to survive. We've got to work for it. We'll keep doing it. But Jesus says, look, there is a greater work of love that he's calling us to. Sorry, a greater work of faith that he's calling us to do, to trust in him. Don't miss out on that. That is a special thing, trusting in him. Now, if we go back to the 1 Peter and kind of connect it to the John chapter 6, what Christians can do, what we can do, is a special work of declaring the praises of God so that when other people hear about Jesus and reflect on it, they can do this special work that Jesus was talking about, the work of believing, of trusting in him, of being reconciled to God through the Savior that he sent. Now, belief as a work is really not really a work, because you're just trusting in Jesus' work. You're just clinging on to him. But Jesus says we need to do it. It's ultimately all dependent on Jesus' great work, isn't it? His death and his resurrection and the salvation he provides to the world. But we as Christians participate it through what we do in speaking about Christ, and that gives an opportunity to people respond to the message, the good news, in trusting in him and joining the kingdom. And so in a way, what we're all called to do is to follow the example of Christ, aren't we? You know, Jesus, as he went around in his ministry, he was happy and he loved to heal people. He loved to feed people. He loved to bless people. But the priority of his heart and his life was to restore people to God. You know, he was delighted to save. And he even went through great hardship and suffering to save people as he went to the cross. And this moves us to our final point. And I've put it as to prioritize gospel work. Now, one of the problems with telling others about Jesus or your own faith and gospel work in general is that it's really hard to discern your progress. You might lead a Bible study or be involved in parish council, or, you know, maybe not parish council, because often you can see how the building's going or the budget, but, you know, something spiritual, a spiritual kind of work, and you might wonder, are people's lives really being changed? You know, as I stand here now, I can look at you and I'm like, I got no idea. You can be looking at me, but you could do the school thing that you learn at school over the course of school, where kindergarten, you can tell when the kids are not paying attention because everyone's this. But then you get trained to not listen, but to still be looking, and your brain disassociates from like where your eyes are going. You know, in ministry, you can't always tell where people are up to. Sure, sometimes people dramatically change as Christians. They go a period of real fast growth. But other times it can be very slow. Furthermore, in ministry, another frustration is that people don't last. people keep dying. It's true. It is easier, isn't it, to celebrate 75 years of a church building, which you can look at and go, look, it's still standing, mostly, like, look at it, than it is to capture a sense of all the ministry work that's gone on in those 75 years. You know, it's really hard, and you can't gather together to see all the people in that period who've been saved and joined the kingdom of God during that time and see how they've grown and matured as Christians. Why? Because they're either still part of the church, present, but slowly growing, or they've moved away, or they've gone to glory. So it's hard to have a kind of gathering to go 75 years. This is what has happened for lots of reasons. You know, it's easier to mow a lawn and go, job done. Or build a house and drive past and tell your children about how you built this house 20 years ago or something and feel a sense of satisfaction than it is often to do gospel work telling people about Jesus, because you can't observe someone's soul. So it can be hard. But despite appearances, and that is the appearances that you can't always get of how your spiritual ministry towards others is going, and also the emotional responses we might get week to week as to how church life is going. You might be a bit up, but then you're down, and then you're not quite sure where things are at, and that's that slowness that I mentioned right at the start that sometimes people feel like in terms of church life. Paul reminds us of something really special in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says in that chapter, he does lots, it's a long chapter, but it kind of accumulates to a point at the end where he says that because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, our faith is not in vain. So just basic trusting in Christ is not in vain, because Jesus didn't just die, but he was raised to a life. And so we'll have eternal life, so trusting in Jesus is not in vain. But also that preaching about Christ, teaching about Christ, telling people about Christ is not in vain either. Even though preaching and teaching about Jesus and sharing your faith can be kind of squishy in terms of us gauging the effect our efforts are having, and we might think, well, I've told people at work about why Jesus has made such a difference in my life. You know, am I making a difference there or not? Or is this like a wasted conversation? So do I have even bothered at all? Because it doesn't seem to be making a difference. Or maybe family members, and you have another blue with them about Jesus or religion or, you know, these kinds of things. And you think, you know, what's my work here contributing to? Or if you're doing something at church and you think, what is my work here in this ministry that I'm doing worth? You know, maybe I should invest in something else. You know, maybe I won't lead a Bible study because it's hard to tell people's progress, but at least if I do pantry, I can count how many hampers we give out. Maybe I'll just focus on that. Paul says that work of speaking about Christ and building others up in it is not in vain. It's not like Ecclesiastes, you know, meaningless vapor, vanity, something that's here and then disappears, though that can be our experience of what it feels like. Paul says it's not in vain, so he himself works hard at it. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. And then for all of us, he reassures us in verse 58, the second Bible reading, that because it's not in vain, we should keep at it. He says we should be steadfast and immovable in trusting the risen Lord Jesus, but then also we should abound in the work of the Lord, because our labor in the Lord is not in vain. Now, I was just thinking a bit about this word abounding, what it is, and it's about an abundance and overflowing from us in the work of the Lord. We should have in us a kind of spilling over an excess of speaking of Christ. You know, where sometimes we think, is it worth it? And you kind of pull back a bit. maybe I'll engage in the next encounter with this person or whatever it might be. No, Paul says it should be filling us up and spilling over. We should be abounding in these kinds of work. And this should be the case from all Christians, and particularly gospel workers, people set aside for particular tasks, paid or unpaid. And so, while it may be frustrating work or feel like it's slow work, it is not a waste, but it is a worthwhile and lasting task, which blesses people now who respond in faith, and then them on to eternity. So, in the things that we do, let's love God and others, working for the good of all in the world, but also in a special way as we know the mercies of God and Christ into our life, let's be overflowing in speech. And knowing that even if sometimes we feel like they don't have an effect, we're doing it for the eternal good of others. And know that no matter how slow our ministry efforts may feel, or frustrating at times, or if we feel like they're not getting anywhere, we can be reminded that it is a labour that is not in vain. Because through it, eternal difference is being made in people's lives as they're saved through the risen Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can show our love for you and for our neighbour through our work in all kinds of different ways. And we pray that we would all be a blessing in your world, wherever we are and whatever we do. We pray as well that we would also overflow with praise for your mercy to us in Jesus' death and resurrection and his ascension. And we pray you'd help us to be bold in taking up opportunities to tell of his love, and that we would always remember that it is a work which is not in vain, and that it's always worth doing. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.